My name is John Hartman. I live in Bothell, Washington, and I listen to Bible Believers Fellowship. If you want a no-nonsense, straight-shooting kind of teacher, Greg Miller is the one to listen to. He teaches straight from the King James Bible, and he pulls no punches.
Join us at bbfohio.com and bbfohioradio.com. Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of bbfohio.com as we conclude our study in Luke chapter 2, verses 15 through 20, titled Shepherd Evangelists. This is part 2 of 2.
And we just keep reading.
Do you even... I'm talking to me. One day I was reading it. I mean, hey, Greg, do you realize what you're reading there? This host of angels went from Bethlehem to the outside of the universe, wherever heaven, you know, sides of the north, we're told. And they didn't take, they're not taking 5 billion years, 15 billion years to get there. They were, as I think my next screen tells the story here, the angels arrive in heaven before the shepherds make it to Bethlehem. Now, you want another layer of icing on that cake? One of these days you're going to travel like that. Because Jesus said we will be as the angels. We're not going to be angels, but we're going to be as the angels. It also says we will be like Him, Jesus. You remember Jesus did this too. He was born as a baby, and then after He rose from the dead, go back to Acts chapter 1, He ascended to heaven. And He's not still out there traveling. But see, that's a whole different dimension that you and I don't have any real awareness of at all. We only know what we're told. And we're told some amazing things. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this point beyond saying this, but read your Bible and pay attention. And I'm telling you, I've read through the Bible several times, and then all of a sudden something like that jump out at me. I'm like, whoa. Because over and over, you'll see these spirit beings and spiritual dimension things going on that we just kind of read past them. I mean, you remember the time where he said, I'm not even going to try to, off the top of my head, tell you the exact details of the story, but you remember, see if it ring a bell, I think it was David, but he was told, listen for the going in the mulberry trees. And when you hear that, go. I think it's Elijah, wasn't it? It's either Elijah or Elisha, and I just read it this week. That's how great my memory is. But you go back and read it, and then the one fellow is like, how are we going to win this? We're outnumbered, like, we're going to get slaughtered. And he said, Lord, open his eyes. And he did, and all of a sudden he saw all these angels surrounding the battleground. And all of a sudden he's like, we can't lose, man. He went from despair to, you know. And we don't get to see that right now. I don't believe all these people claim to see this stuff. I read the Bible. It doesn't really compare. But one of these days. Yeah, Doug, did you want to say that?
So it's over in Psalm 8, I believe.
That's about right there. Everybody look at Doug right now. See how he's holding that? Yeah, when you make a comment or question, I'm going to have you get the microphone. And it'll go on the camera. Okay. And I won't have to edit it. So say again what you're saying.
Psalm 8, I believe it says something about what is man, you know, and he's putting the stars up there like finger work.
Yeah. And that was really my point in bringing that out, is to recognize how amazing God is. Oh, yeah, I walked right past the dinner. Turn it off for a second. But that's... Now it's back on. Behave. But, you know, that's what I mean when you hear people say, I don't believe in a Trinity. Three persons in one God. That don't make sense. I'm like, you realize how ridiculous that comment is? You think God's going to make sense to you? Everything you just saw in that computer animation represents just the pinky finger of God. He is way beyond our understanding or ability to explain. He's told us things in the Bible about Him. You don't understand how He could have no beginning. You don't understand how there could be three persons in one God. You don't understand a lot of things, but we know it's true. He told us. And God is amazing. So these angels, now going away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem." That's why I said the angels made it to heaven before they made it to Bethlehem. "And see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." Now, faith is believing God's word and then acting upon it with obedience. If you read Hebrews 11, the faith chapter, the hall of faith, it doesn't say they believed and then did nothing. Every one of those people are demonstrations of faith. They're examples of faith because they believed God's word and then did God's word. And we've got, we've just got all kinds of examples. For example, you can trust God to take care of your bills, to help you pay your bills. But you still have to work. Amen? Now, I know people who, I don't name names, but I know a couple of guys who never worked. And, they said they were in full-time ministry. Well, but they didn't have any means to pay their bills. And they had families. Wife, child in one case, two children in another. And they said, "Well, wait a minute, how are you going to, you got to care for your family." The Bible says if you don't care for your family, you're worse than an infidel. And they response, both of them, they said, "Well, I just trust God." Well, wait a minute. That's not what it means to trust God. You trust God when God says, "Any man that doesn't work shall not eat." You trust God, then you better work if you want to eat. And that passage, if you don't provide for your own family. And now, if we weren't able to do what we're doing, I'd have to go be a Walmart greeter or something. And, but we're in a situation where I don't have to work. And so I don't. But if I had to, I'd have to. Amen? And, there's missionaries who want to just go out on the mission field, but they don't have the means to take care of the family. So what are they? They've got to work on and be a missionary like Paul was, a tent maker. So it's not trusting God. I tell you this all the time. I can still carry. And I have a gun, knife, red pepper spray. Why? Because I obey Jesus. Jesus tells Christians to buy weapons. In His day, it was a sword was the big one. So that's what He told everybody to buy. He told them to buy the biggest, most expensive, and most effective weapon that you can own in His day. So today would be like an AR-15. And you can't conceal carry an AR-15 unless you're Charlie. He could probably get by with it. But most of us have to carry something like a .38 special or a 9mm or something like that. And whatever your weapon of choice. Now, there's some places where you it's posted, don't carry a gun. So what do? Well, you have your pepper spray or carry a 3-inch blade or whatever you can. Because that's what you do if you believe God. If you trust God, you obey Him. And there are people every year, professing Christians, raped, mugged, killed. They went into it saying, "Well, I just trust God." Then when it happens, "Why didn't you do something?" And God says, "I did. I told you to carry a weapon." Amen. God's told you what to do. Do it. And then somebody tries to rape you. Or, and they writhe in pain and you walk away. Whatever your choice, you do that. And there you just demonstrate your faith in God's word. Amen. And so these shepherds are demonstrating that. Yeah, Martha?
I think if you look in 2 Kings 14:14 and then read verse 15, you'll find out about the mulberry tree. And it was David.
It was David. So yes. I guessed right because it was a total guess. Like I said, I just read it, but my memory's as long as my nose, and it's what do they call that? Pug nose. But as we were saying, James 1:22 says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. See, if you think you're Mr. Spiritual or Miss Spiritual because you just don't care for anything and you just trust the Lord, you're being a terrible example to others, but you're also just being a failure as a Christian because you're not supposed to have that attitude. You're supposed to be a doer of the word. Work, Christians. You should be the hardest working people that this world knows. Christians should be the hardest working people on the planet. Christians should obey God and protect their families and their loved ones. Christians should pay their bills. Amen? And Christians should give to the work of the ministry. Amen? There's a lot of people going without right now, without Bibles, without food, without missionaries, because Christians don't support the work of the Lord. And they sound just as spiritual as anybody. Well, I believe in giving as the Lord leads me. Yeah, and it just so happens He's not leading you to give at all. I don't buy it. I think you're a tightwad. I think when you stand before the Lord, you're going to be ashamed of yourself. Now, we have to always get into this. Yes, there are some times that people can't afford to give. But then there are other times where people just throw their money up. You know, just, I don't have money for the church. But here. Yes, cable, video games, movies,
Magazine
subscriptions, those still exist. Newspaper, you know. Yeah. Yeah, and a lot of times it's not even the phone. They have to have an iPhone, a brand new iPhone, with all the, you know, bells and whistles and free calling from Mars, you know, and all that. So the shepherds demonstrate their faith in God's Word by putting feet to their faith. How many of you ever heard putting feet to your prayers? It's the same thing, true. It's putting feet to your faith. I believe God, therefore I do. Amen. Look at verse 16 then. It says, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And all I can say is imagine that. Imagine being those shepherds who walked up on Joseph and Mary and the little baby. And I just love pictures like this. And I know he probably didn't glow in the dark, but there might have been a glory of God appearing there. You know, he was God incarnate. Could have been something like that. See, what about all the sparkly stuff? I don't know. I'm not saying it sparkled, but I think it was quite an event. I think it was a warm thing. Sometimes you see them and they try to portray Mary and Joseph as like, oh, they won't let us in the inn, and then we're out here in the cold. And, you know, you ever seen that? I mean, that's the way. And I don't think it's like that. Like I said, the innkeeper wasn't a meanie. They didn't have room, and they weren't going to kick out another family for Mary and Joseph and the baby to come.
Cows and sheep.
Yeah.
And donkeys.
Yeah.
They create a lot of heat.
Oh yeah, heat and joy. And we just look across the street at horses, Jenny and I do, and we just love it.
Oh, I know. Horse behavior is fascinating.
And then we got their little shih tzus keeping us warm and all that. They're like little sheep. You know? You say, well, it's probably smelly. Well, I don't think they were pooping right there, you know. But farms have a smell to them. But, you know, back then, they were used to it. There were animals everywhere. I mean, you live out where we're at, you're always smelling something and guessing of where it's coming from, you know? What me? Charlie? Yes, no pigs. That's a good point, and they really are the smelliest. But the Jews did not, sad to say, under the law, there was no bacon. No bacon. And how did the shepherds react after seeing the infant Jesus? Is that a good question? Well, we read verse 17. Read that with me. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. You see Jesus, what do? They had to tell people. That's... Now, I'm not one to go around judging everybody and say, well, I don't even think he's saved. I don't even think she's saved. Why? They're not Buckeye fans. What's wrong with them? You know, people get silly about that stuff. But I don't say this to judge anybody and say, you're not saved. But I just don't get it. these providing animals to picture the blood of Jesus. Remember we talked about that? They were the first to declare the arrival of the fulfillment of the law. That's what it says. They made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Again, Ederson says, quote, "It was here that those who tended the sacrificial flocks, heaven directed, found the divine babe, significantly the first to see him, the first to believe, the first to adore. But this is not all. It was when we remember that presently these shepherds would be in the temple and meet those who came thither to worship and to sacrifice." So not only just right now, you imagine these guys for the rest of their lives. We're saying, yeah, we had these angels appear and tell us that the Savior has arrived and He was born here. And you know, can you imagine? For the rest of their lives. He says, "And it's that we perceive the full significance of what otherwise would have seemed scarcely worthwhile noticing in connection with humble shepherds." And I admit to you, even reading it here, haven't really paid attention to it in years past. It was only a few years ago it kind of dawned on me. Said, wow, this is really, there's a connection here that I wasn't getting. A real serious connection that I wasn't getting. And that's what I said. I will never understand people who claim to be saved, but don't have any desire to tell others about Jesus. I'll never understand having gospel tracts at your fingertips to be able to give to people. And if you're that timid, you can even just leave it and, you know, you can check out at the grocery store and leave it there on the little cash register thing. You know, you can go in and buy something and, can I give you one of these? Oh, you know, they might say no. Like that's, you know, no thank you, I'm okay. I want to die. You know, that's how people act. It's like somebody says no. Okay, big deal. I have people say no to me all the time when I try to give them gospel tracts, especially now that we're bringing in all these Muslims. I mean, they'll see it and they'll be like, ugh. And then sometimes they'll take it and go like, you know. I know they probably didn't read it. But it just doesn't make sense. What the shepherds show us is really how it ought to be. The shepherds saw the baby Jesus and they had to tell people. Now, verse 18, it says, "And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." So I ask, do you leave people wondering? Not everybody's going to get it right now. Not everybody's going to, you know, even interact and ask good questions or anything. At the very least, we should leave people wondering. Now, what is it about, you know, Jesus and this Christian thing that has so and so, you know, fill in the blank with your name. You know, going to church every week and wanting to give out gospel tracts all the time. It's just weird. What's the deal? That's what it means. Wondering. What was it these shepherds are talking about? You know, my rabbi didn't teach that. My grandma didn't tell me that. That's what people do today.
Well, my pastor says. Well, I was always raised to believe.
So you leave people wondering. That's really what your job is. It's not very often in human history that the first time someone heard the gospel, they got saved. What happened? They hear it, and sometimes over and over, and it leaves them wondering. And then they have the opportunity as a free will agent to then look into it. Ask a Christian. Get a Bible and read it for themselves. That's what we're here for, folks. You may not see a bunch of people drop their knees and get saved, but you should be leaving people wondering. You should be telling people about Jesus. And, you know, I'm glad if you like the church or anything, but I say this over and over, it doesn't say go ye into all the world and tell people about your church. And it doesn't say go ye into all the world and talk about your pastor. It says go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. So tell them about, you know, I'm a Christian because I believe Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. God became a man in Jesus and He died for my sins, shedding His blood and paying the full price. And when they buried Him, He rose from the dead, conquering sin and death. He demonstrated His power over death. And that's why I believe in Him. What are these strange things you told me? Leave them wondering. Amen? So notice it didn't say that everybody believed.
We simply preach the truth and then leave it between the sinner and the Savior. That's not your job right there. Your job is to make them wonder. Make them want more. And if they ask, you can lead them through the gospel and they believe, praise God. But most of the time, that's not what's going to happen. So be obedient. Amen? Faith. Do what you're told. And that's demonstrating faith. Jesus has said to tell people about what He's done to save them from their sins. In the meantime, Mary just takes it all in. Look at verse 19. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. You can picture Mary sitting there holding Jesus just like Olivia is holding Ezra right now. And Mary thinking, this is amazing. I mean, 9 months ago, Gabriel shows up and tells me all this stuff. And now I'm seeing it happen, fulfilling before my eyes. But you know, she knows. Mary's a good Jewess. That's what they call a female Jew, Jewess. And she knows that those shepherds are tending to animals that are sacrificed. And the shedding of the blood of those lambs picture the little baby she's holding. When it says she kept all these things and pondered them in her heart, I think she's thinking, Psalm 22 says they pierced his hands and his feet. Isaiah 53 is talking about Messiah and says he was wounded for our transgressions. Those are the things I think she's pondering. And I can't even imagine being in Mary's sandals at this point, because not only all that I just said, but having a child and then holding that child. That child came out of you, Olivia. Charlie came out of Jenny. I mean, that's just some wild stuff. I can't even pretend to think I know anything about that. I don't care how many videos you saw. And then to think that you're holding the baby you're holding in Mary's case happens to be the Son of God. And that those shepherds and their animals and the blood shed by those animals has a connection to that baby you're holding. She's pondering quite a thing, isn't she? But we can identify with the shepherds. We can identify with the shepherds, all of us, men and women. Look at verse 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Something I am sure they talked about for as long as they lived. Not only in the temple, like we mentioned a moment ago, but just sitting out there in the middle of nowhere in the pitch dark. Hey, Frank, were you there? Yeah, I was there. Steve? No, I wasn't there. I went home for the holiday and I had to go home to get taxed in, Beersheba. Oh, that's too bad, Steve, because you missed it, man. Yeah, Frank, tell him. Yeah, man, that's what it's like. There's probably some guys who act like they were and weren't. Pete, you weren't there. You don't know what you're talking about. I was too. No, you weren't. They're human beings. But as it says, they talked about for as long as they lived, and so should we. For as long as you live, you ought to be wanting to tell people about how Jesus saved you. And you ought to stick to the gospel, folks. Don't tell them all this other stuff. People love to get off on all kinds of stuff. Man, tell them the fact you one day you woke up to the fact you're a sinner. And you're lost and you deserve hell. When you talk about people wondering, we're supposed to be, loving ourselves. Self-esteem. The Bible says, no, you better wake up to the fact you're a lost sinner. You deserve to be in hell. But then you also woke up to the fact that God Himself in the person of Jesus Christ came to die for those sins, shed His blood and paid for those sins. And I love telling people when I get the opportunity to just tell them, I came to a point where I just knew from reading the Scripture and looking at the evidence and the spiritual conviction, I knew that Jesus rose from the dead.
At that point, to me, it wasn't even a matter of faith in the sense of believing the message. It was a matter of faith in believing that He would save me. I believed that He was crucified, buried, and rose again. And it's like, now I have to believe He would save me because I knew I was rotten. But the moment I trusted Him, it's just a peace that passes all understanding. A calmness, a sense of God's love, and a desire to tell others. Right then. And that's the way we should be the rest of our lives. Musicians, come and sing. Come and get ready to sing 61. And we've got a room full of professing Christians here this morning. So the message to you is kind of obvious, that being saved, having met Jesus, having received the gospel, now make it top priority in your life to tell others about Jesus. Amen? Amen? A couple of you? I thought you might agree. Then anybody watching this live or otherwise, if you are not saved, that's where you start. You better get things settled. You better come to a real understanding of who Jesus is, what He did to save you. And that's really it, folks. People need to be... right now, people think they know what you believe, and they don't. You understand that? People think they know what Christianity is about. Turn on the news. Listen to people talk about it when you get a chance. They think that we think we're going to heaven because we're good. They do. You Christians, you just think you're better than everybody else because you do a bunch of good works, you're going to go to heaven. And I'm like, no, that's actually the opposite of what we believe. Yeah, that's religion. Any religion, basically. So what do? That's when you take advantage of the opportunity and say, no, actually, that's not true. I'm a sinner. I deserve to go to hell. But what we believe is that Jesus died for our sins and paid for our sins, was buried and rose again, conquered sin and death. He's victorious over sin and death. We're putting our trust in Him to save us. Not ourselves to save us, Him to save us. Amen. Just pray about it. The Lord will give you opportunities, and you can do that. Let's go ahead and sing, Go Tell It on a Mountain.